Good morning. Welcome to our program. My name is Keith Greer. I'm the local minister at the Harrisburg Church of Christ. At the end of this broadcast, you will hear times of our services. We cordially invite you to any of these services, and you will always receive a warm welcome. Last week, we began a study in the subject of the resurrection of the dead. We are using as our text for this study 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Last week, we discussed the first 11 verses of this text in demonstrating that there will be a resurrection of dead and answering some vital questions concerning the subject. We want to pick up this study this morning in verse number 12. Verse number 12. 1 Corinthians 15, verse number 12. Now, if Christ is preached that he has been raised from the dead, how do some among you say that there is no resurrection of the dead? The fact is beyond dispute. We examined last week the eyewitness testimony of those who gave personal account of the resurrection of Christ. They saw him. They talked with him. They heard him speak. These are eyewitness testimony. These eyewitness testimonies make it beyond dispute that he was resurrected from the dead. How can they, and I believe in the context, he's talking about the Sadducees, deny the truth concerning the resurrection? Yet a vast majority of the Christian community still deny the account of the bodily resurrection of Christ. A few years ago, there was a survey taken, and there were two vital questions asked to so-called Christian believers. And they had to do with two vital truths that are contained in the Scriptures. One was the virgin birth of Christ, and the second was the resurrection of Christ. 65% of those surveyed denied the virgin biblical account of his birth. If you think that's astounding, wait till you hear the percentage of the second question. The second question concerning the resurrection of the dead, 70% had doubts whether that was an actual event and that it really took place. 70% of those surveyed who claim to believe in Christ, claim to be a Christian, have doubts about the bodily resurrection of Christ. That, in and of itself, is an astounding fact. But, deny as men do, and doubt as many continue to do, the fact of the resurrection of Christ is an indisputable fact. That fact has extreme importance. Why? If our Lord was not resurrected from the dead, what assurance do we have that there is life beyond the grave? You see, his resurrection gives us a guarantee that we too will overcome death. We understand, according to passages like Hebrews 2, 14 and 15, that he broke the hold that Satan had on us with his trump card of death. Death no longer has a bondage over us. Why? Death has been defeated. Why? Because our Lord overcame the grave. That is an indisputable fact. Let us continue examining 1 Corinthians 15, and next we will read verses 13 through 19. But if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, then our preaching is empty, and your faith is also empty. Yes, and we are found false witnesses of God, because we have testified of God that he raised up Christ, whom if he did not raise up, if in fact the dead do not rise. For if the dead do not rise, then Christ is not risen. And if Christ is not risen, your faith is futile, and you're still in your sins. Then also those who have fallen asleep in Christ have perished. If in this life only we have hope in Christ, we are all men most pitiful. Now, these are the reasons that this fact is so vital to our faith and our hope in Christ. Notice, of all the other religions' so-called leaders, none of them has been resurrected from the dead. Not Allah, not Muhammad, not Joseph Smith, not Martin Luther, not any pope, and on we could go. This is the evidence that this religion is not the divine religion from heaven. Why? Because it has no power behind it. Now notice in this context, if there is no resurrection of the dead, then Christ is not risen. Dear listener, if Christ did not arise from the dead on the third day, then there is no guarantee that we have any hope of resurrection. Number two, if Christ is not risen, the apostles' preaching and those who would follow the apostles' preaching is empty. Why? And their faith is empty. Why? What gives preaching the power of God? What message did they preach? The death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ. That is an empty message if there is no resurrection. And if we've obeyed the gospel because of our belief in the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Christ, and yet there is no resurrection, then our faith is simply empty. It's vain. It's unprofitable. And it profits us nothing. And they continue, Paul continues, that they have been found false witnesses. Why? Because they testified to those that they preached to that they were eyewitness testimony. They gave eyewitness testimony, and they were eyewitnesses of the resurrection of Christ. And they testified that God raised him up from the dead. But if that's not true, then these apostles were false witnesses. And if in fact he was not raised, then the dead do not rise. And if the dead do not rise, then of necessity, Christ did not arise from the dead. If one did not happen, the other will not happen. And if Christ is not risen, then our faith is useless. And even more tragic, we're still in our sin. How can we still be in our sin? There is no remedy for sin. You see, if we read passages like Hebrews 9, 24 through 28, we see that he ascended back into heaven to offer the blood that he shed upon the cross as a ransom price of sin and to pay the redemption price that we might have a remedy for sin, that we might be able to be reconciled to God, that we might be justified and sanctified and cleansed of our sin by the blood of Christ. But that blood has never been offered if our Lord never came out of the grave. He had to be resurrected in order to ascend. If he was not resurrected, he did not ascend. He did not offer the blood as a ransom price for sin. And sin still has no remedy, and we're still lost and dying in sin. Dear listener, that is absolutely wrong. He did arise from the dead. He did pay the ransom price for sin. We do have a remedy for sin, and we can be reconciled, and we can be justified, and we can be cleansed of our sin by the blood of Christ. That is one of the evidences of his resurrection. But even worse than that, if he was not resurrected, then those who have fallen asleep, that means all those who have died, they perished in vain. Why? Because Christ was not resurrected. They had no hope then, and they have no hope now. Surely there has to be some flaw in that type of thinking. And verse 19, he concludes that if this is the only hope we have, is in this life, and there's no hope beyond the grave, then our life is most pitiful. And dear listener, that would indeed be true. If this is the only hope we have is in this life, and all the injustice and the evil and the ungodliness and the heartache and the pain and the sorrow, if this is all there is, we've been cheated. And we are, most men, pitiful. But, dear listener, none of that is true because Jesus Christ was resurrected from the dead on the third day. Our hope is secure. Why? Because of Christ's resurrection. We have a sure anchor, Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19. It is our hope. It is what gives us the hope of life beyond the grave. Next, let us look at verse 20 through 23. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. But each one in his own order, Christ the first fruits, and afterward those who are in Christ at his coming. In these verses, we see the order of things. Christ was the first to be raised from the dead to never die again. Other men have been raised from the dead. The widow's son was raised by Elijah. Paul raised a man that fell out of a window in Acts 20. Lazarus was raised by Jesus in John chapter 11. But all those men died again. Jesus was the first to be raised from the dead bodily that would never, ever die again. He was the first fruits. Let us look at Colossians chapter 1 and verse 15 through 18. Colossians chapter 1, verse 15 through 18. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For by him all things were created, and that are in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. He is the head of the body, the church, who in the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. He's the firstborn from the dead means he is the first to be raised to never die again. In these texts, Adam brought man death. Why? Because of sin. Christ brought life. How? By his death. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. We inherit the consequence of sin, not the sin. We did not inherit Adam's sin. We did not inherit our parents' sins. Read Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 20 through 24. We inherit the consequence of sin. When we sin, like Adam sinned, or any sin, we are lost and we have died spiritually. We have been separated from God. That is because of Adam's sin. But because of the resurrection of Christ and his death on the cross, we also now have the ability to have life. You see, Christ was first, and the rest will come at his coming. At his coming, there will be a resurrection. We read this last week in John chapter 5, 28 through 29. In those verses, we see that all that are in the graves will hear his voice. There are some that want to talk about multiple resurrections, that there will be a resurrection of the righteous in the so-called rapture, and then there will be a bodily resurrection of the evil, 1,000 years later, but all of that is theory and speculation of man, because the Bible says very clearly by Jesus Christ himself that there's only going to be one resurrection of the righteous and of the unjust. What we see here is the order. The righteous will arise first, then those who are wicked. But there will only be one resurrection. We're talking about the order. And Christ was first, and all of those will be others, will be second. He overcame the grave to show us how, and then we will overcome death in the last day. That is what the scriptures teach. And so, how vital is the resurrection of Christ? It is our hope of our own resurrection. We hope that you are listening and following along in the Bible as we nail down this vital subject and its true meaning. Next week we will continue in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Until then, have a nice day. Come and worship with us, and thank you.